right now where there's a spirit that's working out there. I come against the spirit of suicide. I rebuke you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, where the spirit of fraud, the spirit of fear that's working, because we stand together and pray, you will deal with it. Because we do not know what the power we have as we come together, men of God, women of God, to glorify your holy name. So, Father, even here, when we are just waiting upon you, do things that we do not know. For the name, the God we serve, is awesome. The Spirit is working, and we praise you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, as I share, well, let me not add one word, but take one word that you want to reveal here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I just pray that I'm one of those who, when we share, like to have it very practical. So I hope when you leave here, you will have something that you can take on with you. I normally try and share something that's happened to myself so that you can take something that has already happened in my life and say, okay, we'll see how this happens in mine. So relax. What this thing today I wanted to share very much was about working from rest to rest. One of the things, if you notice, in the world, the physical realm and the natural realm and the spiritual realm all have tendency for the Lord to bring them together. Last year, the Lord said, this is a season that is coming that is about nameless and faceless. And if you notice in the world, the economic world, if I asked you now to name the chairman, the CEO of Microsoft, how many of you will know the name of the CEO of Microsoft? And he's just come on board a few months ago. If I asked you who was the CEO of Apple, and yet a few years ago you remember these sort of well-known names. And I believe God is doing that also in the spiritual realm, where he's actually taking nameless and faceless people and say, this is the time where the glory is his. He's moving from this person's ministry or that person's ministry to a place where this is a time of focusing on Jesus. And I believe slowly in the next few months and years, you will start seeing this happen. But in Psalm 78, and I just want to use two verses there, 78, 71 and 72, it says that, then he chose his servant David, who took from the sheepfold. He brought him from birthing sheep to care for Jacob, his people Israel, his possession. David shepherded them with a devoted heart and led them with skillful hands. If you read the Message version, do you know, if you want some fun sometimes, read the Message. I took the Message on the train. I was just laughing to myself because some of the things there is really funny. It's a good version to see the Word of God in a different way. This is the Message version. Then he chose David, his servant, handpicked him from work in his sheep pens. One day he was caring for ewes and their lambs. The next day, God had him shepherding Jacob, his people Israel, his prime possession. His good heart made him a good shepherd. He guided the people wisely and well. Working from rest to rest, I want to tie that up with two things. One, in working from rest to rest, it is about intimacy with God and then doing what God has asked you to do. David was out there. He didn't care. He didn't know what God was going to do with him. He was a man after God's heart. And then he did what God asked him to do diligently. I travel around the world. I mean, God has opened up the opportunity for me to go to the Far East. I just come back from India. I've been in Nigeria. Everywhere I go, one theme of the Holy Spirit, intimacy, intimacy, intimacy with God. And that seemed to be the recalling thing that God is actually bringing across. And I was just saying to God, why now? In the generations that was past, why wasn't there so much talk of intimacy? Why in this particular season? And as I prayed, this was a revelation the Lord gave me. When the bridegroom comes for the bride, then as the marriage comes, the intimacy. What does that mean? That our Lord Jesus coming for his bridegroom is very, very soon. And therefore, this yearning for intimacy is being something that's really strong. I'm really pleased that today as I speak to you, it's all men. And one of the things that's been on my heart is praying for men. And one of the things that God is doing is bringing his band back to him. And it's so exciting to see as I minister around the different parts of the world that God is bringing his men back, first for him as a father, as a husband, as the various things that God has called men to be and have the authority that he wants them to for us as men to have. So this intimacy that he's calling for is this move of I believe Jesus is coming soon, and therefore the marriage of the bridegroom and the bride. So this intimacy that God is seeking is, I want my men to be close, like David, who had a heart after men. So I said to the Lord, how am I going to share intimacy? There's nothing in the Bible that defines intimacy. So what is this intimacy? And how can you share something that is not you? Because it says God is love, God is merciful, and all the attributes of God. But where does he say God is intimate? So I asked the Lord, what is intimacy? So this is a revelation I had, and for you to share with you and for you to consider and pray about it. So he said, firstly, all focus of prayer is the Father. We see the Father as the focus of prayer. Jesus is the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is fellowship and worship. So in the Godhead, they have perfect intimacy. That means the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have an intimacy that we, even if there was no creation, in the Godhead is this tremendous intimacy that they actually have. So when we pray, what is this intimacy that the Father is actually, that Jesus is seeking, the Holy Spirit? It's that time where you pray and then suddenly a word of God comes to you. It's not a scripture that you take, but a scripture that the Holy Spirit or Jesus puts on your heart. And you just think, that's my verse. And in every situation that you have, the challenges that you have, that's a verse that comes over and over again because God has given to you. How is this? Let me talk about my own personal situation. The Lord wakes me up, and I haven't done that sometimes or all too often, but normally between 2 and 5 in the morning. So when I had this time one day, it was such an intimate time with him, and he said, look at the clock. And the clock was 4:44. And he said, go and see what Psalm 44:4 says. And I was shocked. He said, this is your verse. You, O God, are my king. Command victories for Jacob. Can you imagine the living God giving you your own verse? Command victories for Jacob. That's the kind of intimacy that God is wanting us to have. That he will give you a direct verse from heaven and say, that's what I want you to have, because you dare to be close with him. And I think when you do that, you don't care about anything else. You don't care about the things that trouble you and whatever you have in front. You seek God and have that intimacy, and he speaks to you and say, that's your verse. And then a song. You know, suddenly sometimes in that time of intimacy, it could be a verse, it could be in tongues, but it's that intimacy that you have. And it's something you can't share with everybody else. And he really wants his men, I believe, to have that intimacy with him. And when you have that the verse that the Lord, the encouragement of the Lord said, you wrestle in prayer with me in the morning, and I will wrestle with you for the rest of the day. You wrestle with me in the morning in prayer, and I will wrestle for you the rest of the day. So this is what David understood. David understood what intimacy was. And he didn't care what it was. Who was he? He was a shepherd. When Samuel came to choose the king, they were the other brothers, were the right kind of sort of things that they were doing. David's father, Jesse, said, oh, I've got another boy. He's a shepherd. And if you go back to the time of Joseph, the shepherd was the worst thing in Israel. So the Egyptians looked down on the job of the shepherd, and that was what David was doing. But he did his job well. So the first thing was intimacy. David didn't care. David was just waiting on the Lord, just enjoying the intimacy with him and God, and he was doing that job. So first thing in terms of moving with and moving in what God wants you to do, don't worry about what the other things you have on a daily basis. It's first get your intimacy with God. And I'm encouraging myself and all of you here today, between now and Easter, as you prepare, say, God, I want to be so close to you. I want to be close to you in a way I've never been before. I'm willing to take that step and say, let me get this right with you. Because I promise you, that changes your whole life. Because when you get the intimacy right, things fall into place. So that's the first thing. Second thing of David was, he said that he looked after the sheep. He cared for the sheep. He was shepherding. That was his job. I believe the second thing is, wherever we are, let's be excellent in what we do. If we are running, we are in a job, we need to be on time. We need to do all the things that God is asking us to do that job. And sometimes I was in India, I'm not saying, you know, that's the only place, but where things are not right. The Indians were saying, Christians sometimes are the worst workers. And they said, sometimes we won't have Christian workers because they're not the best. Because they talk, and sometimes they're the ones that, because they think that because of their faith and because they know the boss is a Christian, they can get away. And I thought, that must grieve God. And we need to pray that we are the best. We are the most excellent. We are the ones that will glorify God. And I believe when we do that, God takes us to the next level. So one is about intimacy. The second thing is, wherever we are, whatever we do, we must be excellent. And let's pray that the Lord will say, Lord, what is my weakness that I need to deal with? What is it that in my job that I'm not doing well, that you want me to do well, so that I wherever I am, I will be the best? So when we do that, the third thing that the Lord, that when we do the intimacy part and we do diligently what God has asked us to do, then God prepares us for things we have never understood. That's what the nameless and faceless is. Because when you do what God has asked you to do at that point, do you know what? He's preparing us for things that we don't understand. Just to add to this, I want to add one more thing. Wherever I go, I share about what God has put in my heart about the 10-90 prayer principle. A lot of times our prayer life is about, I call the 90-10, which is about me, my family, and all the things that is immediate. And what God has put in my heart to share is the 10-90 principle, where 90% of our prayer time is for others and 10% is for ourselves. So what does that mean? Because sometimes you could be in a challenging position where, you know, financially there's funds that you require. Right now, then, there are hundreds, if not thousands of people who are going through exactly your same problem. And you turn that around and say, God, I know what the pain is. I know what the pain of this is going through. Or there's a situation at work where you just can't get this through. Or the computer falls down. Or there's a break in thing. Right now, then, there are hundreds, if not thousands, are going through. You'd move that prayer and say, God, I want to remember everyone who's going through this right now. And you do not realize how powerful that prayer is. Because that pain that you go is a different prayer, where you move away from your situation and pray for somebody out there who's going through this. And God takes, and what happens then is God takes over what your need is as you pray for others. And it takes away this focus of me kind of issue to, Lord, this is what you've given me. You've given me a heart. You make me a part of your kingdom. Let me pray for people. And many a time I find that the Lord will confirm this over time, that you don't even know what you've prayed for, because He will come and encourage you. I remember praying many a times situations like this, where I just prayed for a spirit of suicide, and I was in Japan. I prayed against the spirit of cancer, and I just prayed because I think somebody was suffering there, but I prayed for the general in situation and anyone who was suffering. But we didn't realize the neighbor who was a Buddhist was suffering cancer, and because of this, he heard the prayer. He would never allow anyone to pray, but when he heard this general prayer, we were able to pray for him. We believe he gave his life to the Lord. So this is the thing that we want to do, to go into prayer, not just about ourselves, but to pray for others. And when we do, God, the Holy Spirit, takes over and focuses on what you've been praying for. So intimacy with God and working at what He's asked you to do, and then let Him do what He wants you to do. I'm looking at time. I just want to add one more thing to this. I believe this season is about sharing. And many a times what has been before of Christians is we look at something and say, this is my project. This is what God has put on me. And what the Lord showed me was that example about the boat. When Jesus wanted to talk to the multitude, He just went to Peter's boat, took the boat, and then He preached. After He finished preaching, He said, here's the fish. And Peter said, Lord, I've fished the whole night. He said, go and fish there. And the fish were so many that He couldn't cope with it. He had to bring Peter to it. And I believe in this season, it's about sharing. That you will see things as happening, but God will say, share this with others. Because the fish were so many that Peter himself couldn't take it. He had to bring John into it, and then they shared the catch. I was thinking to myself, Peter must have thought, this could have been my pension. And what he had, half the catch, the boat was about to sink. The Lord said, look, if you had all that fish, the boat will sink. So I believe this is a time that God is going to bring opportunities for us, and He's going to say, would you be willing to consider somebody else into this? Because we are into seasons that are beyond our understanding. And I want to finish with this. I was going to Nigeria, and I was asked to minister to a convention. I've never been to a convention of that magnitude. It was 6,500, and the Lord gave me a word, and this word was about the spirit of greed and jealousy, which I shared. But then he showed me this snake. He showed me this serpent that was actually there, and he said, "This serpent is the one that is stealing everything," and it was covered with oil. Later on, a few Nigerians said, "Yeah, a lot of the oil is in the hands of the occult, and most of them have these serpents that, and in fact, a lot of the oil rigs are named after serpents." So the Lord said, "This is the serpent that is stealing this, and I want you to crush the head of the snake, open up its belly," because he looked at the snake, the serpent looked at me with a glee, and it had this huge belly. And it says, "Crush the snake, the head of the snake, open the belly, and from the belly are the things that he's stolen." It was things like children. And so many in Nigeria are barren. It was interesting, the Lord said, "These are the children," and he's taking this and doing sacrifices. Things that are blessed, oil, which is meant for you, have been taken. So all the 6,500 people stood up, crushed the snake, the head of the snake. And then I didn't realize that round from that point of the convention, Nigerians were emailing about this particular word. And they were saying, "We do not know who this person is. This bald-headed Indian came and he shared, and this was the word." And the Lord said, "Remember, this is the season of nameless, faceless. They don't even remember your name, but this they remember, that which was of God, and was God was giving." So I thought, wow, you know, this is a time that we need to know that God is going to open up opportunities. But he showed this. He said, "Remember what I told you about David? David was intimate with me. David did what he was asked to do well. Then I promise I will supernaturally do things." So when I went there, he said, "You know," he gave me this word, "people are living under oil and gas that they don't even know of." I thought, that's going to be a word maybe in a few years' time that's going to come to pass. So I just thought about that. Didn't give much thought to it other than thinking about it. On the last day before coming out of flying out to London, I prayed for the person who sponsored me, and I said, "God is going to move you out from this house, and you're going to another place, and in this place, it's going to be something that you're really blessed, and God's going to use you, and it's going to be a fantastic house, and financially, you're going to be really well off." I didn't know what he felt. Immediately after I shared the word, he and his wife got really angry. He came against this word. He rebuked that word. He didn't believe it's from God. He said, you know, that, so when he came and shared this with me, he said this. This was his dream house. This was a house that he bought from Shell, Nigeria. And this is where he wanted to live, and, you know, to build up and sort of minister from there. So he was very disappointed this was the word and didn't believe that was from God. 30 days later, there was a knock on the door. And on the, as he opened the door, they said, "We are Shell Nigeria. We need to talk to you." And he said, "You have to leave this place. We have found gas under your house. And part of the deal of getting the land is we take this place from you. But we will give you compensation 5 times to the value of this. This was worth a few million." And from this, the Lord said, "Remember that word, that under you, you have things, oil and gas." And I thought, okay. I thought it was a general word to be so specific to have this. And he said, "This is what people don't understand. There are things in their lives which I'm waiting to do as David. If you do what I've asked you to do diligently, there are things that I'm waiting to bless you that you don't even have any idea." When he heard about gas, he thought, my goodness. And you know, he will have a place, the equivalent of High Street, Kensington, and with that, even more money to buy more land. And I believe that this is a time when we do what God wants you to do and do that. He will raise us into levels that we don't even understand. He will take us to places. He will do. But the point was, do it at rest. Do not worry. And I, there was a time when I think, Lord, what am I going to do this? Where am I going to go? He opens the door. And wherever you are in work, it's where you are doing it well. He raises that. He can open contracts that you can't even do, can't even consider. Because if you do what he's asked you to do, and you do it diligently, he takes over. So it's about rest, about trusting him. But one more thing I wanted to share was this. When I was been ministering with businesses, I had a case, and I wasn't sure this was the one to actually share, and I felt as I was getting up this morning, as I was thinking about it and praying about it, to share this particular incident. There's a managing director of a company who was going through a real tough time, and he was going through three liquidations, one after another, and he just couldn't understand. Whatever he did, you know, things were not right. He finished this, sorted this out, and then he will come. He said, "Look, Jacob, pray for me, because whatever I do, this doesn't seem to be coming through. I just can't understand what is holding it back. And each time there's a work, you know, to sort something out, I've done it, but it just goes on and on." So I prayed and I sought that, and I said, "When the last two liquidations before, did you vow to pay somebody something that, you know, if things go wrong, I'll pay you up?" He said, "You know, we prayed for a few minutes," and he said, "Yes, I did, but it was just a few hundred pounds, 500 or 600 pounds, and I just thought, you know, I will just, you know, pay him when I can." So I said, "Did you pay this?" He said, "No, I don't have the money. I assume, and it's been something in my mind, I'll do it sometime." And the word was, "You could pay for the monthly payment of your car, and you got food on the table, but you didn't pay this person." He said, "Jacob, there's only 500 pounds and 1,000 pounds, I think, for the other one." He said, and the word was, "His cry has come before me, and because of that, I will not break through for you." He was angry and he was really upset. For just a small thing like this, that the breakthrough, there was this blockage. And over the last few months of I was in India, there were so many instances. And I remember one of them said, "Do you know what, Jacob, I feel like punching you. I can't believe in the last 3 years, all these other things couldn't come through. These are huge projects. All because of this one thing? All because of this small thing?" And the Lord said, "Yes, because of those small things." So if there are things in your life or something that you're saying, what is it that's holding this back? What is this one thing that is there? I'm not saying that, you know, there's a witch hunt that you need to look out for what is there. But sometimes God holds back on one thing because you have said something knowingly or unknowingly, that you said that, and that has the right to hold back what God wants to work through your life. And I've seen this in businesses. And from that day, he confessed and repented. As he came out of my house, that very person that he owed the money, which he never been in touch for a few years, called him there and then. And it was a confirmation from the Lord. And he finished that, and then the whole thing turned around, and he had a major investment into the company, and things have changed literally within a few days. And while 2 or 3 years, he was just going through this over and over again. So if there anything that, you know, is in our lives that the Lord is revealing, let's deal with it. And if there's something that you, as you pray for others, let, you know, this come out, then bring this up. Because sometimes, as the instances have been, it's been such a small thing that holds back that whole move of God in our lives and in our business. So I just want to finish with that. So summarizing, what is it that I felt that changed my life in these last couple of years? Is that intimacy with Him, with God, enjoying it, and just saying, "Lord, I really enjoy this. Help me to have that deep intimacy with You." Not caring about what God wants, but having that intimacy with Him. With that comes that joy, that peace, and then working from rest, because nothing troubles you at the moment. Because once you have that closeness with God, then nothing else ruffles you, because you know that you are in His hands. He will have the best for you. Then doing what you ask to do, doing it diligently, doing it excellently, and then leave the rest to Him. Because as that verse says, what happens then? One day He was caring for ewes and lambs. The next day, God had Him shepherding Jacob, His people Israel, His prized possession. We do not know among us who God is going to raise to levels that we can't even understand. Because you wonder, where did he come from? Where did the guy from this particular place has gone up to such a high level? Because God is raising up people. And I believe even this year, you will see nameless and faceless people coming up and saying, "Where was this guy from? Where is this lady from?" Because they're so close to God, because God can speak to them, and they listen, and to whatever they've done diligently and excellently, so he knows that this next phase they will take up to a new level. I'd like to close with that, and let's just pray. Let's bow our heads as we bring this to God. Lord, I believe that's what you put on my heart today to share, and I thank you, Father, that today you will challenge each one of us to be closer to you, to enjoy that intimacy with you. And I pray, Father, that wherever we put our hands to, as David did, he cared for the sheep, he enjoyed looking after them as a shepherd. Wherever you put us as shepherd, help us to be good shepherds. Where we are at the work, help us to do it well, diligently, and for the best, Lord, for your glory. And they will say that this person, this lady, is one that glorifies your name through work. So, Lord, as we do that, we do not know what you have for us, but we know the plans you have for us are great plans. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that among us, if anything that is here that is being revealed with regard to something that is said, which that we didn't even realize, then, Lord, reveal that to us so that we can deal with it and you can use us in a new way. Thank you for this time. Bless each one, and we pray as we go back to our offices that you will come, encourage, strengthen, and a yearning, Lord, to be closer to you, as we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.